So two museum exhibitions of striking ambition and scale for two very, very different artists in two boroughs. Wangechi Mutu at the Brooklyn Museum. I'm sure we'd all agree a really sumptuous, perhaps we wouldn't all agree, but I find it to be a rather sumptuous exhibition, but also one that isn't afraid to tackle or at least raise rather profound issues, perhaps by its very sumptuousness. Faye, what are your feelings about Wangechi Mutu?
Okay, it's funny because I'm a little torn about the show, and there were things I liked very much, there were things I really disliked, and the thing that I liked the most, I think, was that video. You saw the stills of the animation. I don't know how many of you have seen it. The new animation, which reminded me a little bit of something that had been at the museum a number of years before, which was the Mariko Mori. I don't know if you saw that show, but the similarly fantastical thing. But I was, you know, I feel like it's complicated. I really, they're incredibly striking things. You know, they're made so beautifully. They're these big collages. I don't know if you've all seen them. They're quite large. They're quite, as David said, sumptuous. But for me, there's a little bit, sometimes a little bit too slick for my taste. And also going back to, I mean, this sort of historicism of them. To me, that can be more interesting sort of conceptually in the sense of, let's say, let's go back to Hannah Höch, which I think they're quite reminiscent of, back to these models of the 20th century. And what is the end that she's using them to? Well, it's to, in a sense, create a voice for this kind of post-colonial, the issues having to do with Africa and the diaspora. And I think in that sense that when somebody becomes somewhat historicist, it feels okay to me because I feel like it's being marshaled to new messages. So I was very struck by the sheer, you know, technical proficiency of the show. I was a little put off by the slickness, I really hated one of the videos. So which was the one where she's wading into the water singing "Amazing Grace," I was just kind of horrified by. And
well, that's a very early work, but it wasn't had the annoying effect that one had to listen.
Well,
to
why? Yeah, but why have an annoying, you know, early video piece of juvenilia in there? I don't know. I thought that was unfortunate, and I didn't much like the middle video either, which was
Sort of Janine Antoni cake
of the wild woman of the woods eating the cake. I guess for me, this kind of primitivist.
Well, that's the issue for me. I think. That is the core issue of the show. I mean, she is exploiting primitivism is one word that one could use, or exoticism is a word that one could use. And one wonders, she, I think, occupies a somewhat ambivalent space in relation to primitivism / exoticism of seeming at once to be implying a critique of it, and at the same time actually deriving great benefit from it. Are you troubled, Joan, by the exoticism of the artist or by the artist's own attitude towards her own characteristic?
Well, I think you put your finger on something there that's at the core of it. I don't know if I'm troubled by it. I find what's really amazing about this show is that there's so many contradictions inherent in it. That you leave the show wondering how could solicitous imagery end up being a feminist, represent a feminist cause? How could somebody who's being positioned as the other create works with great resemblance to the, for example, Egyptian rooms that are downstairs, which are positioned within this museum as the roots of Western culture? That seemed like, for me, the biggest contradiction. And I think that I, in contrast to Faye, loved the eat cake video because I felt like it was maybe the most honest, and I felt closer to the core of what she was actually about. I don't believe the... I found a huge contradiction between the works that I was looking at, which seemed to express a real searching and desire for empowerment of female sexuality, but I didn't buy that it was any kind of critique of anything. In fact, I felt the relationship between what I was looking at and the wall texts that were explaining what it was were so at odds with one another that it became a kind of phenomenological experience of understanding how somebody is not being received.
Yeah, I mean, we are constantly reminded, Stephen, that we're in a museum by these very preachy labels. I quickly decided not to read any of them. But did you feel that the artist was being positioned as a... the work as being some critique of issues of sexuality or of colonialism, or did you feel it was a purely aesthetic state?
Well, you know, you scan those, or I scan those didactics, I think they're called, to see if they're going to be useful, and I usually decide not to continue with them, and in this case, I did not. I was having a lot of fun looking at the work without that. Without that intrusion, and what I, with a few exceptions, but what I came away from was one thing that I want to note is that her Faye mentioned Hannah Hawke and the that kind of constructivist you didn't mention this, but the idea of the constructivists of having a very strong figure ground relationship where the figure does all the work and the ground is more or less neutral. And I think it's really interesting that she's moving away from that. There seems to be more of this, what we think of as kind of classic cubist, modernist exchange of figure and ground. But it's still very strong, especially in the family tree, which was a knockout, if we can get down to cases here, as far as the pictures are concerned. Because I think her talents are primarily pictorial. And the family tree, which has... 10 or 12 sort of Archimboldo-like faces...
Yes.
Except instead of being made out of food, they're made out of a variety of things, machines. She's very good at that. I think she's very good at weaving this sort of found imagery into an image that is not dependent on the meaning of those original images. But to answer your question, it was fantasy. It was like a futuristic fantasy, body parts becoming machines, a cyborg. It was sometimes used in talking about her work, and that's what I come away with. Sort of a desire to reinvent. Maybe this is a desire to reinvent the self with no restrictions.
Yeah, I like the fact that Stephen mentions Archimboldo because I feel that yes, they go right back to him in that it's more of collage as humor than as collage as deconstruction or disruption or subversion of the way we see the world. It's almost a sort of a more of a kind of, even though there are things that, for instance, sometimes the face is made up of limbs that pulled from pornographic sources, but it doesn't have any of the kind of connotations of critique that you might expect from such loaded materials. It just seems to be a sort of orgiastic sense of we're all made up of cells that are part of this continuum of life or something. That's the way I felt. It was a very upbeat kind of feeling towards the materials.
Well, I think that's true. I like that piece also, by the way, Stephen, the family tree. I thought that was a really good piece. I don't see much humor in it exactly, but I do think that there's sort of a long history of this kind of what you're calling orgiastic, but this kind of really this you know, opening the body up and giving it this kind of grotesque and combining futurism and futuristic, I should say, and machines and whatever, and so, and that the idea being that the body is broken up in this way, and it's no longer one thing, and I mean, for example, Nicola Tyson does that as well, and I'm wondering if it's not kind of an interesting route to take for people who are the voice of the other or whatever. This is kind of liberating. But on the other hand, is it really breaking through anything? I'm not sure. You know, I feel like it's in many ways not all that surprising. Or
well, I did feel also, I don't know how you respond to this, Joan, but it did seem to me that one tries very hard to resist when you're looking at, say, an artist who happens to be African, to then immediately make comparisons with other artists who are African or of the African diaspora, African Americans, say, because that's to push into a corner. But on the other hand, she's an artist dealing uprightly and forthrightly with the issues of Africa. So it seems inevitable that, especially in view of her technique, that she so brings to mind sort of a Chris O'Feely meets Kara Walker in the tropes that she exploits and the methods that she employs. So it seems that compared to those two, well, how does she compare to those two? That's the question.
I don't know if I can take that. I have another question.
You have another question, but let's leave that one floating and okay. you tell me what's on your mind.
For me, I think that our discussion about what the significance is of her various moves and what the bodies and imagery means really brings up the question of how responsible an artist is for the kind of discourse that brings their work into to a larger public in the way she has. Mm-hmm. And I feel like in her case that she's kind of having her cake and eating it too, mm-hmm. in a way that I'm not really convinced by the way that she's been ushered in. And when I see it, my personal desire for her is that her work could be seen in a much more expressionistic way, that the fantasy elements of what she's doing would be brought to the fore, and the critique and, you know, identity politics and deconstruction kind of analysis that has gone on about her work that really brought an artist like her to the fore would recede to the background, because I feel that's where her strength is. And the only piece where I felt like she made an attempt to challenge the terms on which she's being received is when she took those blankets and started wrapping them around the corner and challenging the orthogonal space that her work was being shown in, and started to make these trees or whatever, where, you know, she's creating a form and then it goes over the edges and creeps out into the room. And there I felt like the artist's voice was stronger insofar as she was challenging the terms of just even the architecture that her work was being shown in, that showed me somehow a clarity in the kind of position that she was taking and responsibility for how her work was being received.
Yeah, those are new works, almost, it felt like, made for the show. I was almost wondering, Stephen, whether they were her work or whether the work had, whether the space had been prepared in such a way that, I quickly realized they had to be her work, although they weren't interestingly labeled in the show. They were on the checklist. Talking about the column and the kind of cork or felt kind of materials that are against one of the walls, and it felt like a sort of, what's his name, the guy who worked for Peggy Guggenheim, Fritz Kreisler. Felt like a sort of Kreisler, felt like a transformation of the space rather than, but it didn't feel like actually an installation.
Yeah, I think, I persist in believing that her talent is essentially pictorial. I don't think that the felt blanket installation work was it felt like an afterthought to me, as did the
decor to go with her work rather than
and there was also something funny along the floor line of the main gallery where the white paint stopped and there was sort of a brown mud color thing along the bottom. This is a kind of I think it comes out of a fear that the work is not going to hold up. You have to trick up the space. I do think also about the audience issue, I think it's worth noting that Brooklyn Museum, very fine institution, is very, very conscious of their audience, or the audience says that they would like to draw. And I think we shouldn't be surprised that they I don't know how this was presented at the Nasher, but I think we shouldn't be surprised that they position Mutu in a way that will resonate with their
audience, demographic,
their target demographic.
I actually disagree that it seemed like an afterthought. I think it's I mean, we should remember that Mutu began as a sculptor. That's how she started, and that never would have been done. There would never be a piece that was that sculptural in the show unless I think she had intended for it to be there. And I thought it was very much of a piece iconographically and emotionally with some of that work, in the sense that it was this kind of wild growth. You know, she was putting that figure in the woods, eating the cake, and the kind of, you know, nappy hair, I thought it conjured up kind of a body and also hair, and I really thought, I mean, you know, I can't say this is my favorite work in the world, but I feel like that the trees were actually of a piece with what she's trying to do in the, and I do feel like she was trying to break out. The other thing I just want to mention about her is that she has a very specific kind of relationship to African art. You know, she's Kenyan, and she, not to get too historical, but she, you know, all of her relatives grew up during the Mau Mau Rebellion. And I think that was an extremely violent and very much a secretive movement. I mean, all the violence was taking place sort of underground. And I think the kind of way that those figures are both contained and violent, I think sort of evokes that that situation. So, you know, like, I am torn. I feel like there's historical resonance in that.
I really picked up on that too, and it seemed to me like there's this kind of underlying or subtextual historical trauma that runs through the exhibition.
Yeah, there is.
Reading the what you called the flood line it seemed to me like the blood had been painted over, the color on the bottom was like the color of dried blood, and then the walls painted over that, and that seemed to be, to me, that if she was trying to evoke some of the horrors of the 19th century that she and her family had lived through, and I think this is certainly
the 60s,
and
it's post-independence.
I feel like I would like to see more of that in her work, and I would like to see that become more explicit. I think it would be much more compelling work if those kind of things were brought up from underneath and were dealt with in somehow a more conscious way.
So, Faye, if you are happy with the sculpture work and the video, what is it about the remaining work that you find too slick?
You know, I kind of find the whole thing slick, but I guess I'm so torn about it because I feel like there is this history that she's accessing, and that there's a reason for these things to be voiced the way they're voiced. And so I know it sounds like I'm equivocating a bit. You know, I do feel like those things look a little bit to me like, you know, the big collages, like big things that could be sold. I don't know. It doesn't feel necessary.
Well, they are. I mean,
but I feel like they're not critiquing that at all, and that they fall into that just way too easily.
Oh, I see.
That's sort of what I. It felt a little.
Are they trying to appeal to too many audiences at once?
Well, that's the other thing.
I mean, there's doodads, you know, glued on there that are going to some viewers will respond to, you know, the fantastical imagery that other viewers were. They seem to be very eager to please.
They do. I think they do. But
it seems that they're eager to please because they're a gentler spirit than some of the artists who I mentioned, who are more kind of fierce in their, in Kara Walker, obviously, there's the absolute ferocity of an African-American dealing with the Civil War. But in Chris O'Feely, who in a way there's a playing of, you really get the feeling of him playing the fool, of him hamming it up, of him kind of provoking. Mm-hmm. At the same time as there being really a deep sort of formal sincerity in his images. And with her, it seems to me that she's sort of carefully veering a path between those two, behaving nicely and not letting it all out. Maybe. I mean,
only in that video, the eat, that was pretty incredible thing to watch. I mean, eating the mud.
The eat cake video you're talking about?
Oh, the, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That wasn't nice. That was...
Yes, that was a
full power.
It was full power. It was full power, but again, it was an echo of another artist. I felt Janina Antoni was sort of a bit channeled in that, and the projection on that wooden crate on the floor was not, I think, the best resolved of her work.
No.
I was really enjoying it. I liked her work a lot. I just wondered, you know, what really is going on here. The artist I was really thinking about most when I stopped thinking about contemporaries she looked like was Marc Chagall, because it seemed that she's Protean, she's definitely Protean, she's got a very authentic personal language, and there is a synthesis of different cultures within that language. But there is also a playing with, rather than critiquing, the expectations that go with specific cultural identity. That was mine.
And with specific symbols as well. I'm thinking of the serpent, which is everywhere in those collages, and I don't know, but I would guess that the serpent has a different significance in Kenyan lore, maybe African lore in general.
Well, the thing about the Eves, the Eve work,
there's a Medusa,
Mother of All Eves or something. It's well, the label, this one that I did read, to my loss. It told me that it's her reconstruction of the Eve myth, in which Eve is a powerful mother who slays Satan rather than being tempted.
So it's a serpent symbol that we know.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Just as Chagall's crucifixion is a symbol we know, perhaps. Well,
my last question is, can we acknowledge or receive the other in art without in work coming from other cultures without it being tied up with some kind of critique notion?
Yes, we can, sure. We can, but what we want from art, whoever is making it and wherever they're living and whatever their gender or color, we want art that's got that tension of being aware of its own language and of any of the issues that come with the language. It's about an artist's relationship to language rather than to identity, I would propose.
I do think she succeeds in providing a lot of contradictions that you come out of there, and I felt very much like Faye, that I was torn coming out of there thinking about all these different things and the impossibility of them laying easily together.
I think we agree on that. If we're after ambivalence, we get plenty of it with this.
There's also, I mean, there's something to be said for, at least I feel there is, there were an awful lot of people there. Mm-hmm. It was really jam-packed when I was there, and it was a real crowd. I mean, you know, people were really engaged with the work, and people from, yeah, the demographic of the Brooklyn Museum, which, you know, there are a lot of African people in that neighborhood, and diaspora people, and I feel like it's really making a huge appeal, and on a very sophisticated level. So I also liked that about it very much.
Yeah, their attempts always haven't been particularly sophisticated
right.
to reach that audience, but this one, I agree with you.
Yeah, I like that about it.
No, it's great to see, of course.
And my first word is my last word. It's sumptuous.
It is sumptuous, yes.